Good morning and welcome to those of you who have been here a few minutes and who are just dialing in. Coffee with Dakota episode 60 is ready to go. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Pam. Hope everybody's doing well.
Yes, yes. And for those who have just joined us, if you'd like to be an insider, just dial in 10 minutes early, okay? And there's some special considerations to get to our private Facebook page, but we'll get to those in just a little bit. So let me turn over the time to Paula because we're doing something a little different today.
Yeah, so because we're doing it a little bit differently, that means your giveaway, Pam, will be for the callers. So you'll have to, when I get through this first thing I want to talk about, you can let everyone know to, you know, how we're going to identify who the winner is of the cup. So I thought what I would do today is bring to you some of the common things that we have seen in some audit situations, really the focus on inpatient rehab facility for the first issue, and then on the second issue for physician office and documentation as well, but it also could go over into the hospital setting. So to start out with, and because this is such a common finding, you know, we find it many, many times in the IRF setting. We typically will do coding and clinical documentation audits of IRF encounters. But in addition to that, it's not just the ICD-10 coding we're looking at. We're looking at the impairment group code that is selected on the IRF PI. Now, this is and I know we've talked about it before on Coffee with the Coders, but I just wanted to bring it back up because as of recently, in the last 6 months, I'll say, we've seen it in multiple reviews that we've done, and that is the misselection of the IGC for non-traumatic spine versus other neuro versus other ortho. And there actually are two other potentials, such as stability and pain, but those would be rarely, rarely used. To start off with, when you are selecting your impairment group code, when you have a patient that comes in with a back issue, a spine diagnosis, the very first thing that you have to ask is, what is the cause of this spine issue? So you're looking for the diagnosis. Now, it could be multiple things. It could be spondylolisthesis. It can be spinal stenosis, which we don't really like that term in rehab as a reason for admission, the spinal stenosis, but it's used still a lot. And it could be a myriad of other reasons, but those are the two primary that I see. You see a radiculopathy or a myelopathy that will be sometimes documented. Now, in order to select the non-traumatic spine impairment group that's going to be associated with that etiologic diagnosis, you need to look for deficits that prove that the patient had a true central cord, spinal cord damage, okay, that is causing weakness, that is causing a myelopathy-type situation, maybe bowel and bladder function issues, maybe proximal more than distal weakness. Those are the types of things that you're looking for. You're looking for the symptoms to show that there's true central cord damage. You can't just say this diagnosis, spondylolisthesis with radiculopathy, gets you into a non-traumatic spinal cord IGC. And I see that a lot, but one of the clues from a coding perspective, or a diagnosis coding perspective, is the fact that the term radiculopathy was used. And that says to me that not necessarily central cord damage. I'm typically looking for something, you know, like a little more severe, like a myelopathy. So is there central cord damage? Because if not, then I'm going to consider the neurologic IGC, the 3.9. And there are many reasons to want to get that patient into the non-traumatic category for, you know, because they become 60% qualifiers, and the payment rates are typically higher based on how debilitated the patient is. But if they don't fit because the deficits aren't there, even if they have a spine diagnosis, then the patient might be more appropriate for 3.9, which is other neuro. That means there is, you know, peripheral deficits or, you know, nerve issues off of the nerve root or following into the extremities. There's a radiculopathy, not a myelopathy. There's foot drop. And these are just some of the evidence that I've seen for neurologic. There's paresthesias. You know, there might even be some type of neuropathy going down as well. It's not associated, but in addition to. So in that case, you're going to go more for the other neuro. And we also have these spine cases where the patient had, you know, some lumbar stenosis, let's say, and your spine doesn't go all the way down to your sacrum, okay? So the spinal cord, I should say, doesn't go all the way down to your sacrum. So in many, many cases, you've got patients with, you know, L4, L5 issues, and it's really more that we're rehabbing that patient back from a surgical encounter because they had a lumbar laminectomy, and it's not about true central cord damage. So in that case, there's no radiculopathy, there's no central cord issues, so there's no neurologic deficits, no central cord deficits. It really is that rehab back from surgery, and so in that case, you're going to consider more the other ortho, the 8.9. The last two I mentioned, the pain and the debility, the pain is going to be a patient. They're typically non-surgical. You're manage that patient's pain to get them through the thoughts of the pain so they'll get up and walk. And so you're going to see a lot of management of the pain medication and management of them to work through their pain in order to function. And then the last patient, you might have a patient that had that spine issue for years. They didn't have any surgery, but they just sat around and got completely weak. And so you're really having to do therapy to get them back from their general overall weakness. Now, they may also have some back pain, but that's not the primary focus. They may have some other issues going on, but the primary focus is just general overall debility to get them, you know, to treat that debility. So just want to cue you to be very specific and educate your docs to give us the detailed deficits, and when you are trying to support that spinal cord case, that the deficits, not only the diagnosis, supports that patient in that IGC. So that was my first point, Pam, and I know I rambled on that a little bit, but it's such a big issue. So if you want to give us some information about what we were talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I've been furiously writing phone numbers down as Paula has been talking, and so I may have a first name or I may not. I may have a facility name or I may not, and I have a phone number or not. So if I don't have your phone number, you're not in the drawing. But if I do have your phone number, I'm writing down the last four digits of it. So be aware if you're calling from a facility and maybe everybody has the same caller ID, just know who you are, because when we draw this, if I know a first name, I'll say a first name in the last four parts of the phone number, or I'll just say the last four, and then that will be how we'll select them. You'll need to call me back at 877-976-6677 from preferably from that number if you can do that. And then we will arrange to get your mug to you, because we're really excited to mug people. And the guy at the post office makes fun of me every other Monday when I go there. He says, call somebody, Pam's mugging people again. But we call it mugging when we mail you a free coffee with a coder mug with our special branding on it. And then we call it a mug shot when you send back a picture of you with said mug or any other AQIC branded piece. So there we go.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I'm going to talk about my second topic, and this is really more related to physician office. The finding has been in a physician office, and it's been on many, many of the reviews that we've done. And I think it really becomes a challenge when you're transferring over from one electronic medical record to another. But I've also seen it in hospitals in a different way. And that is where the title of the document that is being either dictated or documented by the provider is not listed on the document. So in a hospital setting, it wouldn't identify that it's a progress note or a history and physical or a consult. In a physician office, it would not identify that it's a new patient visit versus an established patient visit. And that's really the biggest I've seen in the physician office, because oftentimes those templates, you know, the physician just starts typing or documenting in whatever method their electronic software allows, or, you know, using software where they do talk to text. I do that backwards every time. And in an audit situation, you know, new patient visits are paid differently than established patient visits. And so in order to determine what type of visit it is first, and then you determine the E&M level. And a new patient in a physician setting is a patient that the physician hasn't seen in 3 years. If the physician or the practice hasn't seen in 3 years, the same specialty, 3 years or more. But if they have been seen in that three-year duration, then they are considered an established patient. It doesn't matter what insurance provider they have. That's the rule for new versus established patients. So when the type of visit is not identified in the document, you really can't support billing a new patient unless the physician says, this patient is new to me, this patient is an established patient. And a lot of times I don't know very many physicians. Well, actually I do. I do know some physicians that do that. But most often they're in their office and they don't always anticipate saying whether it's a new patient or an established patient. So I would just recommend that every document where the physician dictates or you know, however he gets that information in the medical record, that those documents are identified to protect and reduce the risk of incorrect, not only code assignment, but incorrect payment on the back end, or in an audit situation, making sure that it supports the claims that were billed. So identify those document types, guys, and make sure that the date of service is there. It's not the dictated date. It's not the transcribed date. It's not the signature date. It's not a, I'm trying to think of what other dates I've had listed. I've had dates listed on the top of templates, but they don't specifically identify it as date of service. So type of document and date of service must be identified on every template document. So there you go. That was my 2 cents for today. And we'll be back in the next couple of Mondays with more questions, because we do have some more. But please send in your questions. We love getting your questions. We have lots of questions in the queue. We do not get rid of them. So we may go back from time to time and answer even some questions. If you submitted your question long ago and it hasn't been answered, it still may be, or it is in the queue, but it still may get an answer. So please keep showing up and sending us more questions, and we appreciate your questions and being able to talk with you. Pam?
Thank you, thank you. And we appreciate when you share with your colleagues and friends. So
yes.
share the message with more people. So thanks so much. Okay, so it's time to mug somebody. I've got all these numbers written down on little slips of paper. I've been spinning them around and on my desk, so I don't actually have a hat here. But let me grab one out. And so here, the winner for today, your phone number says your name is Stanley, and your last four is 1867. So Stanley, give me a call. Congratulations. You're the mugging winner for today. Can't wait to see you all again in 2 weeks. And I don't
Pam,
have
can you say that name again? Can you spell that name?
Stanley, Stanley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can sit here real well.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I should have grabbed my calendar while I was doing that. Let's see. 2 weeks from today is April the 8th. So look forward to seeing you on episode 61 on April 8th. And do call me Stanley, 1867. Have a wonderful day. And thanks for joining Coffee with Decoder.